In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. Those are two simple words, right? Excuse me. Excuse me, I need to get by you. Excuse me, I just sneezed really loudly. Excuse me, my house is a mess. Excuse me, I didn't prepare anything for you. Excuse me, I'm late again, but it wasn't my fault. Excuse me, I was really rude and obnoxious yesterday. We use it all the time. Excuse me, in all these cases, meaning something like, please let me get by with it this time. Please don't hold me accountable, even though I was loud or lazy or whatever else, or rude. Please don't blame me, even though I deserve it. Please let me off the hook. Well, what if, and maybe you've had this happen before, what if you say, excuse me, and someone says, no, I won't excuse you. When the servant goes out in Jesus' parable today to call people, everything's ready, come to the party, they all begin to say, excuse me. They make excuses. The first two both say, please have me excused. Excuse me. But the problem is, there is no excuse. The servant's not going to accept, no, I won't excuse you, because there is no excuse. What really happens when you say to Jesus, no, Jesus, excuse me, but I don't want to go with you? Sometimes people will make this parable about that we need to accept Jesus' invitation. So the idea would be we'd preach this parable to you something like, you've got the RSVP, you've got the invitation there, Jesus sent out the invitation. You guys got to accept it, you got to send it back, tell him you're going to come. Well, the problem is that that doesn't fit this parable at all, because the fact is everybody already RSVP'd. That's not the issue. The issue is not that we got to accept the invitation. The issue is the excuses. Or the other thing people will do with this parable is they'll take it and they'll just make it about how you and I need to go out and invite other people to come to this party. And certainly we need to do that. We definitely should be inviting everybody to come to the party. But again, it doesn't fit the parable at all. The servant does the inviting, and the servant is Jesus. He does all the big stuff. He's not like, oh, I wish these people would go out and invite. No, he's going to take care of that. Again, the issue is not the invitations, it's the excuses. It's you and I all the time saying, excuse me, Jesus, excuse me. And then it's about a master, a father, who keeps compelling you over and over to come. You've got to come. There's no excuse. You've got to come. Now, what excuse? You know, I kind of asked it hypothetically, but let's really think about this. What excuse will we give for not going with Jesus? What excuse are you going to give? This is the funny thing about the parable, that the excuses, they're not just bad excuses, but they're offensive excuses. They're humiliating excuses. So let me tell you what I mean. The first guy says, servant comes, says, hey, come, everything's ready. He says, excuse me, I bought a field and I want to go look at it. Now, on the surface, it sounds like an okay excuse, but it's not. All you have to do is just think about it. Is that a valid excuse? It's a joke. It's offensive. It basically is like, I'm not coming to your stupid party. So let's say you're invited to the wedding of your good friend. You RSVP. Yep, you're invited months ago. Everything's good. You're planning on going. Then the day comes and you skip. And what excuse do you give? Well, you know, I found a house on my phone, so I bought it. And I wanted to go look at it. Now, who is going to accept that excuse? That's ridiculous. It's offensive. Nobody buys a house over a phone without looking at it. And even if you did, is that a valid excuse why you're not going to come to this wedding, this party? It's an obvious lie. The second guy says, excuse me, I bought some oxen and I'm going to go examine them. Again, it's offensive. You don't skip a wedding that you've been planning to go to for months because on a whim you just bought something without looking at it. So understand, these are ridiculous excuses. And finally, the last guy's the worst. He doesn't even bother to come up with much of anything. He just says, I have a wife. I can't come. Now, the adults in the room will understand that this excuse is actually the most offensive. Because basically he says, I'm not coming to your party because I'd rather be busy with my wife. So understand, we're not talking about people, you know, with good, legitimate excuses where we say, oh, I understand, it's okay, you know, yes, your excuse. No, it's not like they got into a car accident or, you know, their house is on fire or they're in the hospital or, no. We're talking about Jesus knocking on the door and saying, come to the party. I've died for all your sins. I've risen from the dead. I've prepared a place for you. I've done everything for you to have joy and peace and forgiveness and eternal life. Come. And we say, oh, Jesus, could you excuse me because I don't want your forgiveness. That's the offensive part of this. I mean, you see what I mean at the beginning when I said there really is no excuse, right? How can there be an excuse when Jesus says, come and come to my party, and we say, no, I excuse me from it. There's no excuse. The master of the banquet says, no, I can't excuse you. I want you here. There is no excuse. Oh, what will we say to Jesus? You know, thanks, Jesus, for giving your very life on the cross for my sin, but you're going to have to excuse me because I don't think my sins are all that bad. I don't know why you went and died for them. It's not that big of a deal, right? I don't really need that. I mean, remember, the word excuse means let off the hook. Please let me off the hook. So basically, you'd be saying, Jesus, please just let me off the hook. I don't really need your forgiveness that bad anyway. Or what will we say to Jesus? Will we say this? Thanks, Jesus, for coming to my door with your forgiveness and grace and mercy, but you're going to have to excuse me because I just don't have time. I just don't have time for that right now. I am way too busy. Would we ever be so busy with life that we can't go to a party? Because I think all of us would then say, what kind of a life is that? You're too busy, you can't go to a party? It doesn't sound like very much fun of a life, right? What kind of life am I living if I'm too busy? I mean, we can't say, yeah, I'm a terrible sinner, but yeah, I'm too busy to do anything about it. Jesus is saying, come on. Or one more, what will we say? Thank you, Jesus, for coming down to earth to become a man, suffer and die for my sins, but you didn't have to do that. You're going to have to excuse me. I've got this already figured out all on my own. I mean, what a lame excuse to think that we're so smart or capable that we don't need him. Right? As far as I know, and as far as I think all of us know, there's only one person in the history of the world who has been able to beat death. It's not us. So we may be smart and capable, but we're not going to solve that one, right? We think we're smart with our excuses, but the only way to eternal life is through Jesus. So there's no excuse for missing this party. And truly, I mean, right here, the table's all set for us. Every Sunday, God sets the table for us with his word. The Lord's Supper, he's saying, come, everything's ready, right? Everything is ready. The forgiveness, life, salvation, it's all there. And Jesus is knocking on our doors and saying, come and eat with me. Now, I think, finally, this will really become clear to you, to all of us, if you just think about the word excuse. The word excuse really comes from two Latin roots, and it comes from ex, which means out of, and then from causa, which means accusation. So the word excuse means get me out of blame, out of accusation. Let me off the hook. Well, we know there's only one guy who does that, who gets us off the hook, who gets us out of the accusation from our sins. So what's our excuse? Jesus. He's our excuse. He is our way out of blame and accusation. He took it all for us, right? All of it. He took and died for it on the cross. So he's our excuse. It really is so simple. He's the party. There's no other excuse. There's no excuse why not to be there. He's the reason for the party. And we wouldn't want to miss it. So, friends in Christ, I beg you, like I beg myself all the time, to drop the excuses. Don't excuse your sin. We can't act like we're not bad at all, or we can't get so busy with distractions that we wouldn't want to go to a party. Or don't excuse ourselves because we're so wrapped up in money or material things, temporary things. Or don't excuse ourselves because we've decided that God doesn't really care what I do anyway. All those excuses, they're offensive. They're ridiculous. God is at the door compelling you. I want you to come. All the time He's doing that. And I'm not just talking about church on Sunday morning. I mean all the time He's at the door knocking. Calling your heart to Him again, to trust Him, to believe in Him, to repent and find forgiveness in Him. So we don't want, remember, our in our epistle today from 1 John, he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's not send back the RSVP, but forget to make the party. Jesus is knocking. Go with Him. Go to church. Study His word. Pray. Be at the Lord's Supper. Love your neighbor. And then, what we can say to every other distraction, we can say, you'll have to excuse me. I'm with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.